Okay, we're recording. Go ahead. You know that Frank Tamburi in Washington D.C. behind where the Trump protest is going. Tell me everything.
Yeah. So basically, they have the strictest entry for the parade they've ever had in D.C. history. It's the same thing as going through the main, like, major security check. Went through everything just to get to the parade. And it turns out now I'm right in front of Trump Tower. Trump Tower, well, the Trump Hotel is converted. Well, the parade is going past that Trump Tower, or the post office. And this is where the majority of all the protesters are. And I mean, they are a lot. They are really, you can just feel they're about to pop. Matter of fact, this one guy is kind of amazing, liberal, orange, sturdy shirt, whatever, the older guy. But he saw me videotaping from behind, you know, all the protests. He starts flipping out like a Scientologist and runs up to me, taking all these pictures of me, you know, like, stick it in my face. Anyway, something's about to happen. There's SWAT behind there. There's police behind in all the windows here, and every window in the towers. There's Secret Service, there's police. There's so much police, you can't even get close to even see the parade route. I've never seen a parade like this for a prison. I've seen a few before. Anyway, I'm here, and we're getting towards the end. There should be Trump to the end now. You're going to hear everyone. I'm right in the middle of it.
Here, you guys share that microphone so then...
Okay.
So you guys just share that one. Okay, I got Angela Keaton. Angela Keaton from antiwar.com is sitting in here, and Davi Barker, and he just happened to be here, so we're all, you know, on the edge of our seat wanting to get the whole thing. Now, the parade that you're talking about is what? Is this the anti-Trump parade or what?
Hold on. Wait. This can't be him. Hold on a second. Yeah, this is the inaugural parade. It's the parade where the Congress, everyone, the band, the parade, the music, the band, they all come through. There's two bands right now with six Secret Service on four Secret Service agents on each side of two bands, side by side. I can't believe that's the president.
You think the president might be there?
That's not him. It should be any second here. So all the dignitaries are coming through. And they're literally coming right past Trump Hotel. And on the other side, where the International Hotel is, there's a bunch of employees. All the employees have all the signs saying, thank you, Mr. Trump. So Trump International Hotel, that's the ultimate thing that it's you know, they're promoting Trump going by. And all, there it is.
So during the actual inauguration, there wasn't really any controversy. You're in there watching. We got the picture.
There are so many black bands and trucks, I can't tell what's going on. There's like seven or eight black trucks all went through, all brand new. You can tell they've got a whole new fleet now. The security, I've been to D.C. in the years before, and I've seen other presidential events, but this is unreal. It's like I'm in the Soviet Union.
Well, tell us...
Boy Science. Oh, by the way, keep in mind, tomorrow is the Women's March, right? The so-called Women's March. So everyone's wearing pink, and they're wearing these hats that have little ears on them. I think that was Trump. Here come all the helicopters. They had the riots just about an hour or so earlier, I'm sure you know.
No, I didn't know. You know, we just started putting up some pictures of, you know, there was some rioting and gas and so on, but it was still dark. So this was early on, away from... the inauguration. So at the inauguration, was there any drama there, or you just sat back and enjoyed and got
Trump fix? There was some drama. I got it. Matter of fact, just give me one second here. Let me find Dr. Feaster's here. And before we start skedaddling, I can't tell if that was him that passed or not, actually. One second here. There was drama, if you call it drama, and that was the protest of the, you know, 100,000 of some supporters that were there, the entire time that, Chuck Schumer was speaking. I don't know if you heard anything. They probably edited it all out. But that was people chanting, drain the swamp, and boom, drain the swamp, screaming. For, you know, like 10 minutes, the entire speech. But I'm sure it was all edited out from the from what you saw. And when every time Hillary Clinton's face was shown on the giant monitors across the entire mall, you would hear this wave. Yeah, here I am. Where's the other three? The other two? They should be right here. Anyway, there would be waves of people laughing and booing and booing. I've never heard. It was so loud. Everyone at the Capitol, including the president, could have heard the entire mall booing and screaming out, "Drain the swamp and start with her." And they even chanted out also, "Lock her up." So you literally, the entire mall was chanting, "Lock her up." I, Joseph, said that none of that was shown. You just heard the music. And I recorded it, by the way. So when I come to the studio, you can hear everyone chanting this.
Okay, now this is what we got. We had the coverage from Fox on the whole time, and then NBC later when that got choppy. So Davi and I just went ahead and did commentary. He actually took the oath, started right at the end of the show, and we went long with it. But the thing is that, you know, Chuck Schumer being on the stage there as part of the program got the talk. Where the hell did that even come from? Is that a regular thing?
I have no idea. It shocked all of us. I mean, we've been sitting there, everyone here at 4 o'clock. Oh, here it comes. Oh, they're really sick now.
They're just showing how peaceful the transition of power is by bringing it to the other party to legitimize the whole thing.
When you're starred, they let you do it. You can do anything. They're quoting Trump. Trump loves hate. Love straight. I need to read it backwards.
So what are they chanting? So
you've got half the people, so you've got Trump hats, the other half all have the, nasty woman hats. That's kind of what we're talking. It's like an NFL match.
So where are you at now, at the Trump Hotel?
I'm literally the Trump. You just put in Trump International Hotel, just Google Ernie. I'm right there. I'm right in that big intersection of the internet. You know, it's the old post office. And there's a whole bunch of flags in front of it. Across from it is 1111 something. I don't know. So yeah, just look up Trump International Hotel. You'll see it.
Okay. No. So there, that's just the center of protest. You know, you guys got questions? You know, Davi, Angela, you got a question that you want from him to tell you about?
I always want to know about police.
So the police, you know, they were cheered by people. They, you know, thought they were good guys, or were they restricting? Or did you get your anal probe? I mean, you know, how did?
Well, besides the riots, they're using concussion grenades earlier. I mean, they locked up 90 people, and they were like, you can hear the concussion grenades going and helicopters going all over. So, I mean, you had that component, if that's what we're talking about, and that was after the riots earlier on.
So what was the trigger?
There was a whole second set that occurred after the inauguration, because that was a police fine sat down to eat somewhere, and all of a sudden my texts began to, IM messages from everybody. Because you guys were all, like, I, Joseph, and others were watching this with all these second round of riots at 12th Street and K Street. So that was a whole other realm. So then they delayed the parade and then had this complete lockdown trying to get through the security just to get to the damn parade. So then they delayed the parade because it took so long for everyone to get through security. Matter of fact, we bought some Trump swag, including some swag for you there, Ernie. We've got a little Trump flag for you in the Trump things for you, which I know you can't wait for. Anyway, we got some of those flags, you know, for some friends, and they wouldn't even allow the flags in there. They ripped all the sticks out and destroyed all the flags of everybody that bought everything. So that's just to get in here. Oh, my God, look who's right in front of me.
So this started as a protest. What prompted it turning into a riot? Did something happen, or did that just what happened? Was that the goal?
It just happened. Hold on one second. Hold on one second. So right in front of me, right this literally a stone's throw, is Sherelle Gurmoyle is her name, from Fox News commentator. She's right here, the Sean Hannity commentator right here. She's been escorted with the police. She's right. I should just take a picture of her. Hold on a second.
Yeah, I have a Derek.
Yeah, so that was actually the main Fox host, Gurmoyle, whatever her name is. The one who shows off their legs all the time. That was her.
Oh, that
anyway,
is
interesting
down
to see her. Yeah, anyway, sorry. I wasn't distracted from the legs either, guys. Trust me. It was just so many things going on at once. I'm literally, if you look on the map there, Ernie, and you see the intersection. You know, by the way, guys, the parade has not stopped. Matter of fact, people are still here, like the parade's not over yet. And I'm not sure what the heck. Everyone's looking around like, what is going on? Like, there's no, and the police are still here. There's still a complete heavy, the parade's not over. And like I said, now we have the Fox News people showing up. They're the actual hosts.
Okay, now what are you talking about, you know, the parade? There is a parade. See, this parade that Donald Trump, I mean, when you see the president getting out,
right,
walking and waving and all that kind of stuff, you know,
yeah,
is that, that's after the, that's what's going on now? So there's
exactly,
like...
Exactly, yeah. So what happens is that from the president's point of view, it's not from my point of view, you know, getting up early, staying around all day, but from his point of view, he gets up, he goes to church. So then there's like an early mass. And after the early mass, he goes somewhere and he greets someone, I forget whatever it was. And then after that, then he shows up at the Capitol. And then at the Capitol, there was a meet and greet with basically the rotunda. And then at that point, they all start coming out, you know, the Supreme Court and everyone that comes out publicly. And then after that, then after the inauguration is done and he's sworn in, and then the Mormon Tabernacle Choir gets to sing, because that was probably the other part of Mitt Romney's deal with getting his daughter with RNC. He also had the Tabernacle Choir sing. But anyway, after all that was done, hold on a second. Did you find Joe? Oh, hold on a second. Okay, call her for me. Yeah, I know. She's a fox. I know. That's Gert Mahler.
So you chose to go to the Trump Hotel. That's the center of the everything, the protest, because it's in front of the...
Yeah, well, I think I kind of did. I basically was trying to find the other riot area, just to, you know, find out what was going on.
The riot area?
I was trying to find that other
riot
area.
The speech zone?
And it looked like it was in the opposite direction. So I figured, all right, well, it started raining, and I was going to miss the parade, so I had to choose one. So I said, okay, I'm going to go towards the parade. But then all of a sudden, the helicopters switch from where the old riot was, or the second riot, and they start going over where the parade route is. And then we got in line to go through, and then the security shut down, and it took forever to get through here. And then all of a sudden, I'm realizing why the protests, and why it's so nuts here, because all the protesters decided to come in front of Trump Hotel, and for some reason, this is where they shunted general public. So here's the kicker. The rest of the parade route, it's been so locked down, you need a ticket. You need to have a ticket to get to any part of the parade route now. So just like you needed a special orange ticket or a red ticket or a silver ticket to get in to see the inauguration as close as I did, now you need a ticket to get anywhere in the parade route. So whatever color that you somehow had to get in advance, then you have to find a guide, and the guide then takes your large group through a bunch of barriers just to get to a part of the sidewalk where you can stand. It's absolutely ridiculous. And if you don't have a ticket, because most people don't have one, then you're like shunting, you're just walking around aimlessly trying to go around streets that are all blocked off. There's no instructions anywhere. By the way, there's no restaurants open anywhere. And on top of that, there's no trash cans anywhere in the goddamn city. You can't throw anything out anywhere because every trash can, of course, they can blow up. So up until the inauguration actually happened, you could not find a trash can for your life. And that included a couple miles out of the city from where I picked up the metro. There
okay, well,
no
what about porta potties or somewhere to go to the bathroom?
They had some, but the problem is you're so packed in wherever you were that if you left, you lost your seat. So basically, for 4 or 5 hours, people, including women, and I'm a urologist, I know how women have to go every 20 seconds, but they all stood there for 4 or 5 hours. You barely could move, otherwise you lost your spot. There are porta potties in now this area where the general route is. But during the inauguration, not much at all.
Okay, now, has Trump gone by you yet?
You know, why don't you guys talk amongst yourselves for a minute or two? I got to figure out where Joanne is. I also find out why everyone's still standing around. I can probably find out. So let me just call you back, and you guys chat amongst yourselves for a few minutes. But I'll call you back once I figure out what's going on. Okay?
All right, cool. All right, live reporting from the protest, Frank Tambury. You know, the Trump report at the inauguration. And, Angela just came in when you were traveling, you know, here from California. Were you paying attention at all to any of the coverage or what was happening?
Unfortunately, a tad bit. I can never really be off duty. But, you know, I don't care about who administers the bombs.
You got a new boss.
I've got a new boss, the same as the old boss. Right. Well, I mean, slightly not as embedded within the political class, but don't worry. He will be soon.
Yeah, they'll explain it to him.
They'll explain it to me. Yeah, I just, no, here's a few thoughts, and I know this will be offensive to your audience, but I don't care if liberals and Nazis kill each other in the streets. They're the cornerstones of fascism in the U.S. I don't think that liberals and Nazis are a good thing. They're a threat to my personal safety, just as Donald Trump is. So they are enemies of mine.
Well, you guys are, came with a friend, or an assistant that's working on some stuff. Did she have an opinion?
Yeah, she's an anarchist. She's got an opinion. Same as the new one. Yeah, they're all the No one tonight in Arizona and tonight in Phoenix, some of us are going to be having more of an LGBT, BDSM, AXQ,
YZ. God, when is it going to stop?
I know, just, you know, a bunch of us.
BDSM,
a bunch of
I missed that part. Maybe
but
I will
a bunch
go to
of us anarchists are getting together tonight in Phoenix to have our own inaugural ball because our movement continues and we don't need a leader and we don't need pomp and circumstance and crazy rituals.
Okay, you can help me out with this, Angela. I'm going to be interviewing someone that, you know, it'll be a transgender thing, and they just happen to be transgenders that are working on the Hyperloop project at Arizona State University. So I want to talk about the Hyperloop, and we get to talk about LGBT, but I am like, you know, I'm old enough, you know, I remember it's just gay. You know, you're gay. Yeah, it's gay. Yeah, we're all gay, 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 gay. And now it just keeps getting more letters. And I'm wondering, what's it up to now?
Is queer an acceptable nomenclature for a catch-all?
It actually is. It's one of those few words that's been successfully reclaimed. So, I mean, it's fine. If someone says I'm queer, I'm not going to get into a fist fight over it.
Well, I want to know what the current, you know, letter. I mean, it's like all you got to do is add another letter and you get a new webpage, you know?
Outright libertarians has decided to go with gender and sexual minorities and just stick with that because it's the fewest letters and it's inclusive enough, you know, it's inclusive enough.
GSM?
Yes, gender and sexual minorities.
GSM, done.
We're done with the letters now. It's really now about freedom. Okay, but the whole point is that yes, you know, non-heterosexual or people with different gender identities also are libertarians, and there's a lot of us.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing. You've been married to man. You know, you come out as you've always been the outright libertarian advocate for whatever. But you know, I never asked you. I mean, how do you identify? I don't care.
I mean, I just don't give a damn anymore. I got bigger things to
worry
about.
Well, I'm a pre-op extraterrestrial. I know that's. Well, I don't know what my species identity looks like yet, but as soon as I find out, I'm totally getting the surgery. and I say that in jest. People laugh at this, but I've identified as an extraterrestrial since second grade. So I think, you know, there's some history there.
Yeah, there's some precedent.
I guess I was bestial. I was married to an ape for almost 10 years.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, the last of that. No, I mean, you know, this, you know, the audience doesn't know who I am. I'm just some freak who walked in off the streets into the studio here at Freedom's Phoenix, but. I would love to protest today, but I don't want to protest with the Never Trump people. I have no interest in having my anti-government.
You don't want to reach across the aisle and work on common goals?
No, I don't. No. I have no interest in common goals. I don't wish to work with the Never Trump people. I have no interest in having my politics used as a way to express imperialism, which is what the Never Trump has nothing to do with being anti-Trump.
It has to do with pro-Republican establishment.
Right, yes. It's their leadership, and they're in the neoconservatives are now melting into the right-wing Democratic Party, since we have two right-wings in the U.S.
Well, what was the view of having...
Really? I always thought it was two left wings in the U.S.
It's a spiraling down bird of prey. You got to get balanced here. Okay.
The bird's upside down. Maybe that's the confusion.
Okay, now, Peter Thiel being, outed as gay. And he's been out for years.
It's not a secret.
Well, I mean, it wasn't voluntarily, so he got him some gawker. But the him being involved with Trump, you know, Peter Thiel's going to be part of something. Is that something they rallied around, or he's not gay enough?
It doesn't matter whether Peter Thiel's gay or not. It matters what he's actually doing, and I want to pay attention to what he's
you
actually
say
doing.
That.
Yeah.
No, you say yeah. that, whether he's gay. I mean, it's like in the Christian community, I have my atheist friends are like, you freaking nut, you believe that? And of course, my Christian guys, you can never be Christian enough, so I'm wondering if you can be You have to be gay enough. All right, wait, all right, here's Frank. Yep. All right, we got you, Frank.
Yeah, that's me.
All right, you're alive? You survived?
Yeah.
The blast? What happened?
Well, the thing is, we're still not sure what this is. The most bizarre thing. I guarantee, Ernie, there's things going on behind the scenes here. The game of cat and mouse with all these protesters. I mean, the fact that they locked down this parade, I've never seen anything like it.
Seen what? You're not describing, you know, the stuff. Okay, I have no idea what the controversy is.
All right, well, this parade is, you know, they finished the inauguration, and then after that, so I left off with you guys, is then they have lunch. They have this fancy lunch, Paul Ryan, everybody, all this fancy lunch. Nancy Pelosi actually was at the lunch, and she made some words, and they're all, like, haw-hawing about it. You know, they're all established in the house kind of thing. Anyway, after the lunch is done, then they get ready for the inauguration. Wait, hold on. There's a loudspeaker or something. Why is there a loudspeaker? Oh, the president. This might be him coming. Anyway, so then what happens is on his way, leaving the Capitol to the new house, the White House, which I guess I'll put gold chandeliers in, they have this procession. So instead of just driving up there, they make a whole thing about it, and they spend, you know, normally about 20 minutes, and they go from one end slowly, a slow procession, to the other end. Traditionally, many times, presidents, if you look through history, often will somewhere spontaneously, right, throw off people, and often the Secret Service, the president will just get out of the motorcade at some point and come randomly to walk up to people and shake hands and get back into it. You know, President Clinton famously got out and started walking up along with the limousines with Hillary famously began running quickly up the hill ahead of Bill Clinton towards the White House. That was always memorable. Anyway, that's normally what happens. And during this procession, though, it's not just the motorcade. It's not just Trump's car. It's of course, the whole Secret Service that they go through. And on top of that, you also have, you know, the Secretary of State and, you know, everyone who wants to have close to the president at this point. The thing is, what's unfortunate, and you're probably going to, I'm sure there's irony of the situation, is that since there's so much security and there's so much, everyone is in a black van. And every person now has sort of a posse of like six other black vans with all kinds of black Secret Service on them. And so all you see, I mean, this is like nothing but a parade of black vehicles with black tinted glass. You can't see a damn thing. And they just keep going by one after another in groups. You have like a group of six or seven or eight of these at one time. They also have a metro bus, one of those giant buses. They try to dress it up with some flags on it. But you'll see buses all around this place now. Buses parked in the streets, buses in the parade, before and after each of these little posses of whatever congressman is going through. And the reason of all the buses, and I read about this ahead of time, it's all because of what happened in France. You know, the guy grabbing a bus and just ramming it through people. So now now there's their own metro buses as blockades everywhere in this damn place.
So the buses are being used to block traffic.
Exactly, block traffic, but they're also being used now in the procession before and after each of this little gaggle that comes through of each group, you know, of the SUVs and the military and whatever. And then there's a pause for about a couple minutes, and then the next group, like right now. So here we go. Here's another gaggle right here. We have four or six motorcycles, police motorcycles. Right behind them, the military brigade. Like four or five walking in a row representing the armed services, and then there's two officers, large white male and a black woman officer.
So these vans are full of
officers.
And then
after them, now
the buses and things are full of officers.
Like hey, Frank, hold on. Bobby wanted to ask you.
Are you saying these buses are all full of officers? Like they like had all these guys just on standby to like roll in case of a problem?
Yes. I mean everything. I've seen. So far, I've seen almost every branch of officers at this point, but this is on top of the Secret Service, on top of the standard Capitol security. It's also another set of security, right? And on top of that, they've brought in obviously the entire local police. I've seen police from Maryland and from all the local areas.
Okay, so just now one thing I want to know about when they did.
Wait! I just want to finish up. You had the brigade, you had the police, the cycles. And then the guys marching, the cop car, and then right after it is another United States Capitol Police giant bus, another giant bus that's all made up. And then after this will come another gaggle and probably some limos, and then people start booing again. Sorry, so go ahead.
The National Guard, the guy that was head of the National Guard there and the inaugural security and all that kind of stuff, they made a big deal out of the second that Donald was, you know, president and I took the oath, and man, he's fired and the new guy's in. Did you get any reasoning behind that, or you want to be in charge of stuff? I mean, what was going on?
I really don't know about that one, Ernie. Not really sure.
Okay, so now the plan is for you. You're going to be coming back when? Sunday?
Sunday, yeah.
What are you going to be doing tonight? And are there parties to go to and stuff? Or, you know, what's your plan tonight?
You know, I'm not sure. Now, here comes, wow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 16, 20. There's like 20 police motorcycles in formation riding slow. I just got to say, as a biker, this is kind of cool. You know, to see them all in formation and not tip over going that slow, guys. I'm just saying, that does show. That shows talent for a biker. But anyway, so for tonight, it probably would be, I'm not sure yet, to be honest. The Deplora Ball was last night. I didn't know about that. I thought it was tonight. But anyway, there's other balls and things going on. I heard the security's been up on all of them. You can't even transfer a ticket for any of these parties that they have. Matter of fact, if you... there's another fight here.
How many people...
We have some supporters like Argan. But anyway...
So do we get to stop calling it a peaceful transition? Like, how bad does it have to be before we stop calling it that?
What? How big is the protest? Is it just a group of people? You got like 50, 100, you know, just for, you know, video, you know, for news coverage? Or is there, you know, they shut down Washington?
Yeah, good question. There is definitely, this is going to take some time to really sort out. On top of the fact that I'm on the ground game, but at the same time, I'm not seeing what you guys are seeing and things I've read online. It's kind of like the initial protest from this morning I had heard was an organized protest of a group called J something. I don't know. But it was like an organized group.
J20, yeah.
Yeah. And then the next one was something different. It was the second one was, or maybe it was the same, but I know it was a second protest that happened at the inauguration. It was something about someone burning the flag. I don't know if that was the first one or the second one. But then someone burned the flag on the street, and then that started a fight, of course. And now this one, though, Ernie, I'm telling you, this one is spontaneous. This is just everyone that's come in for different protests. Remember, we have that Women's March tomorrow, and about like 10 or 15 other protest groups asked for permits. I mean, matter of fact, I had read somewhere that there were, and this is supposedly an objective site, for what it's worth, at least a thought, which is that for this time, there were more people coming to Washington, D.C., that were tracking towards the protest groups than they actually had coming to the inauguration. Now, I don't know how true that is. They're basing this off of people flying and using the airlines going to D.C. But so it shows you how much tension is built up. There are a lot of these organized protests. Matter of fact, Ernie, I'll show you pictures when Dr. Feaster and I just left on our way to the metro. And I sent those pictures to you. Probably woke you guys up this morning. Those pictures of all those people, those were all Mexican, Hispanic, I guess it's to say Latino, Latina members. They were young people that all just out of the blue walked out of this building at 5 in the morning. Now, the two of us were walking towards the metro at 4:30 a.m., whatever it was. It was deathly quiet. It was so quiet. You didn't even see another person. It's just you saw the lights in the little area that we're in. We're walking. It was that peaceful still of the night. And then, bam, about 50 to 70 of these, looks like students perhaps, organized, all wearing red coats, all with red folders by their side, all very practiced and in unison. Just
communists?
Not, I don't say barged out on purpose, but they just literally just pushed out with purpose, out this door, walking right towards the metro. So it was ironic that the two of us were the Trump people, and we wound up getting at the back of the line of this group of protesters, obviously, and they took over a whole part of their train.
Okay, now, were you recognized as a Trump guy? Did you have your Make America Great Again hat, or what?
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. I got a Trump scarf. I got a Trump hat now. It's cold here, and I'm going all Trump.
Were you accosted by anybody? Did they give you a problem?
I told you. The one guy started putting the camera right in my face like one of the Scientology attorneys. Honestly, they didn't know because I was mainly right behind them, and Ernie, the tension that was going on right before I called you, it was, they weren't even paying attention to me. It was all focused, this hatred of what was about to come, Trump. And keep in mind, they took over the shadow of the Trump Hotel. It's right here. I mean, it's like the symbolic, it's everything that they hate. And I have to say, this post office looks like a giant a phallus with testicles. If you actually look at the silhouette, it just has this really phallic kind of like, boom, presence to it, I have to say. It's just, they've been reading into it, but the energy was there, and they were not paying attention to us. Yeah, you noticed that too. Dr. Feaster was saying the same thing. So there was this raw energy, and this was an aggregation of all these different protest groups that met today and the protesters that will start meeting tomorrow, because the big one is the Women's March tomorrow, and who knows what's going to happen there. I'm planning on showing up there. I looked on their website, and they're marching not technically against Trump. They're marching for women's rights. So I'm for women's rights. I'll just wear a Trump hat.
Yeah, I'm interested in the free speech zone kind of thing. I mean, that anybody that's even getting a permit for a march, I think that's stupid too. So Ernie,
you're completely right. When we libertarians, we can't even hold a sign if we go to a free speech zone. Let me tell you something. I have never been through so much security ever to go anywhere. Was what we just went through between the inauguration and for this parade, to just stand on a street. And God knows they checked everything. They went through everything. They had five or six agents touch everything in our bags, everything. And yet somehow these people all have signs that say, there's a racist and an anti-Semite and blah, blah, blah. And they're all chanting. I mean, where the hell is the free speech zone here? You're completely right. It's very interesting that when all of a sudden the liberals are all chanting and protesting, my God, it's right in front of Trump Hotel. You'd think this would be the one area that would not be a free speech zone by the government standards. But I guess they changed their mind.
I'm not a free speech zone guy. Let them do whatever.
Well,
what you want to say, Don?
You know my point.
I'm
kind
of just listening. I'm trying to get a mental picture of everything going on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, is it kind of dispersed? Is there like groups of 50 good for, 50 against? Are they mixed? What?
All right, what I'm going to do is, because I can't do the video, let me just send a couple, send some pictures to Don's phone. How does that work?
Yeah.
Do it right now.
Yeah.
All right.
My thing that I'm interested, he's taking pictures now to send, but, I'm wondering how they're dispersed. Are they, strength in numbers? Or to every protester, there's one, two Trump people back and forth? I'm interested in how this is playing out. And it looks like it's not going to be so much today that they'll try and shut down Washington, D.C. the day after he's already president. Who cares,
So, well, I hope they win. I hope they break off. They win their own self-determination, and we split into two distinct nations.
Yeah, kill the president. Go, Cal exit, man. Let him go.
There's nothing radical about protesting in favor of the CIA. If you're protesting in favor of the CIA, if you're using the CIA's reporting to base your, base what your protest is on, you're not radical, you're a fascist. There's now no difference in the U.S. between center-right liberals, the Democratic Party, and Nazis.
Okay, you there?
Yeah, no, Angela was making a comment, on the protest. What we're trying to get a picture of, I know you're going to send us pictures, but you're on the edge of the street and you're waiting for a motorcade to come by and you have all these protesters, are they grouped by 54, 50 against? Are they interspersed? And what happened to the wall of meat with the bikers? Where are they?
Well, actually, after the inauguration, the bikers were all at a biker bar, all like hanging out afterwards. But of course, they thought it was done. I guess some of them did, and they started hanging out. But it's interesting. It's one of those things where it's not organized, but yet it kind of is. People show up and they feel more comfortable. I think everyone's scared. I mean, that's what this whole anti-Trump movement really is that they're fearful. They're scared. Matter of fact, I remember these signs that they say. I'm Hispanic and I'm gay and I'm this, I'm that, and I'm terrified of your president.
Legalize gay marijuana. Okay, Angela.
They're terrified now. What was it under Barack Obama? Barack Obama just discovered gay rights in 2012. Barack Obama has been killing people. Barack Obama has overseen the police state that kills black children. When has this never been the case?
The most deportingest president in American history.
Yeah.
whistleblowers didn't do well under
it's
him.
It's a weird white liberal obsession to suddenly be concerned with fascism when you live under a fascist state. It is the most privileged nonsense that I've ever heard, this Never Trump thing. It's coming directly from people who get the benefits of this society, and no one who's actually oppressed. Oppressed people who are marching in the streets today are a different people than this crazy Democratic Party, which is a right-wing organization. The Democratic Party is right-wing, and until people get that through their heads, they are never going to have the ability to have a left-right distinction discussion that makes any sense. And libertarians are so horribly ignorant about the distinction between left and liberal, that most of what is being said, including by many of our movement scholars, with me and my giant air quotes, is utter nonsense.
You know, that's one thing you can kind of get to us for us is these signs. What did they say? Is there, you know, pro-freedom kind of stuff? I didn't get when Trump was giving his inaugural address, he goes up and he's like, we're going to make you safe. He didn't say freedom once.
He did not say make America free again.
Yeah, I didn't hear one. You know, Davi picked up on that. He's like, well, at least he said safe.
It's just such a nice, it would have been such a nice, like, end cap to, like, make America safe again and make America free again.
Yeah,
but
he
I
didn't
guess
say
you
that
once.
I mean, did you catch that, Frank? I mean, you kind of waiting for a little liberty in there a little bit?
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, the audience, we were talking about Rand Paul a little bit, so yeah, at least they weren't all one way. But, yeah, I have to say, it is a bit over. Oh, what the heck is this now? Oh, my gosh, some guy's got some
I mean,
huge,
I
got
to like all the platitudes.
What, guy's got a huge what?
He's got a huge protest sign. It's like a three-man protest sign. See what's going on is that we're all confused what's going on. The parade is still going, and we know Pence already went by. So Pence already went by his motorcade. And then this larger motorcade went by, so we assumed it was the president. But the cops are still, as a matter of fact, more police have come, and they're not chasing us out. They're back. They're lining up behind the people. So you know something's coming, and now here comes a band. And what happened was when everyone thought that the last big one was the president, then half of the protesters all began leaving, and they started going down south. They began moving past us, which is, you heard them as they walked past me, chanting. And yet the other half is still here. Almost like, I don't know if they fooled them. Maybe it was like a, I don't know. So half of them left. The full protesters here. A band's coming. There's still stuff coming through. And there's more security coming, lining up behind everybody.
Okay.
I don't know. I have a strange feeling. I don't understand what's going on. Every time you ask somebody, you know, what's going on? Everyone says, I don't know. The parade just keeps going. And, you know, it's like Santa Claus shows up, the parade's over. So why is it still going? I don't understand.
You got to shut down Washington, man. You got to do some Washington shutting down.
I'd be fine.
Yeah, that'd be
that.
Good.
Why not shut Washington down? A protest ultimately is good. I mean, these people are, you know, have no idea, no coherent ideology. Most of them don't, especially the white ones.
There might be a few little groups in there that have some idea why they're there.
Yes, but not middle-class white liberals.
No,
I have no
not.
Interest in what they have to say about anything.
You know, I saw the only video I saw, the first one that was up, is, of course, you know, somebody, InfoWars, you know, in the street. And it's always young guys that got their, you know, nice camera out there doing a thing. And I guess they're identified as InfoWars. They probably got it on there as they're doing video. And people go up and say, he's trying to engage them in conversation. He's going, okay, so why are you here? Yeah, you know, because Trump, misogynist, this,
party.
And gay, and whatever, not, and we don't like Never Trump or something. They can never really articulate a position, you know, and for us to protest, I would think that we'd be pretty clear, you know.
My feeling has always
job.
Been that protesting in the streets is an activity for people who don't have a better idea. Like if you had that many people galvanized around, like, an action that actually had some effect on something, you could accomplish quite a bit. But instead, they're all out there just blowing off steam. Like, that's the point of a protest.
Nah, they're probably just looking for the party. And, they answered a Craigslist ad and they got paid.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, have you engaged in any conversation with the
inauguration
protesters?
Inauguration protest sponsored by the Clinton Foundation.
Frank, have you engaged in any conversation with these guys?
Actually, no, I've been trying to, strangely enough. But it's kind of surreal here. I kind of felt that on the plane, too. It's like there's this... It's like everyone going to Thanksgiving dinner and you haven't seen your family for a long time, and everyone gets together, and there's all the family drama that you've had for 10 years, 20 years, and it's like for the first date. You know, you're having Thanksgiving, at least up until turkey comes. Everyone's on best behavior, even though everyone's simmering underneath. And then maybe after the wine sets in, pumpkin pie comes out and shit starts to happen. It's kind of what it was like on the plane because, I mean, half the plane, I told you, I think, half the plane were Trump supporters. They're all like my prostate cancer patients, the same age group that I see, and they all had red hats. And then the other group were younger women, their 20s, and older women, like, in their late 50s or, like, mid-50s or 60s. And they were all wearing the nasty woman stuff, and they were all almost like they're going to a sorority meeting or something. They're all, you know, they were definitely bubbly and all, but it was like, you knew that they're both going to the same place on the same flight for two completely different reasons. They're on the bagpipes.
Was there any controversy on the plane?
Yeah, they're on the plane. Everyone's on the plane.
No, I mean, was there anybody fighting on the plane or going?
That's my point. It's like the first couple courses of Thanksgiving dinner. You know, everyone's just kind of, you know, you wouldn't even know there was anything political going on. And by the way, here comes the tattoo. You know, it's a Scottish marching band. Keep in mind, Donald Trump is half Scottish, so this is probably a big honor for these guys to be playing here.
Well,
here comes it.
Why?
Go ahead.
Yeah, why?
Finally, finally, a Scottish American president. Like, who cares?
Yes, as if we've been on a shortage of Anglo American presidents over the history of our country.
Was half Irish.
He's
so.
Half WASP, for crying out loud. He was. Yes. Enough with the Anglo Americans. Let's get some other ethnic group in there. Finally.
Well, Angela, you know, I'm interested in your position on. You know, there was going to be. Hillary being elected as a woman, would that have been a point for you? Would you care either way?
Is it feminist to murder children around the world? No. Is it feminist to operate a police state?
So that didn't give you any.
I think Hillary might have missed the feminist 101 class. Yeah, the imperialism usually is a big wet blanket on the ending patriarchy.
So, what do you think the big common protest against Trump is? Just he's not liberal enough, or he's a man, he's not, you know,
that's the thing. It's the same, you know, I don't like to just discredit protesters, because if you just disagree, you just discount them. I think it's everyone's duty to truly, and you do this, Ernie, yourself, right? You'll act all like a wise guy, but, you know, you've got to be right. You have to understand, like you say, a chess game. You understand the other guy's moves. You understand how they think about the problem. So I sincerely try to understand them. There's a couple points I may kind of understand, maybe on the environmentalism, because from their perspective, they have science on their side, or at least they believe they do, and, you know, it's super physical score, and you're denying it, and it's the world. I could see them making points about, or at least trying to, you know, that things that Trump has said, is my point.
Now, wait a minute. Hang on a second. Frank, can you confirm something for me?
Anything Trump has said. I mean, Dr. Feaster and I said this. We've talked about this on the air. I mean, we've been to his damn rally. We've listened to him so many times that Ernie Hancock thinks that I can just regurgitate what Fox and Trump says, for Christ's sake. I mean, I've heard him more times than almost anybody, and I have never heard him ever, ever say anything. And this includes on MSNBC, on CNN, and on old YouTube, you know, videos that when he was interviewed 10 years ago. I've never heard him say anything about how he hates women, and he hates homosexuals, and he hates poodle dogs, and I don't know where these signs are coming from. That's the part that's frustrating. So if they can't, if I don't even know where these things are coming from, and then I ask them, every time I ask, they just kind of, they shrug their shoulders, and they go, well, how can you tell me that he's not? Now, the only regurgitation you'll get is the sex tape, of course, that, you know, the so-called, you know, whatever it was on that stupid show. But, of course, the easy negate of that issue is simply someone named Bill Clinton with a cigar in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
That was simple enough.
Hold on, Angela and Davi want to make a comment here.
I have to pull up all the clips where Bill and Hillary Clinton talked about how much they love traditional marriage? And do we have to talk about all the years of conflict and torment that happened in Barack Obama's mind because he couldn't decide whether or not gay men were human beings? I don't think Donald Trump certainly couldn't be more homophobic than that, and he certainly hasn't. Donald Trump has shown no signs, and this is the one area where he's shown no interest whatsoever in the LGBT community, and I'm fine with him ignoring us.
Yeah, that's one thing. He doesn't talk about it enough. I mean, he just doesn't care, so that's fine with you.
Yeah, I'm happy to be invisible.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, Davi, what did you want to say?
Yeah, Frank, I wanted to kind of pick your brain. I'm looking up, like, I'm trying to find videos of these riots and protests and things.
Hey, wait, Davi, we'll just wait a second until the band comes by. I won't be able to hear you.
All right, cool.
Just give me 1 minute while the band goes by. I want to clarify to you, Ernie and Davi, and all you guys, audience, of what's going on now. It just struck me what happened. I remember from Obama's inauguration, it just hit me now. What happens is that there's one band that goes through first, I believe. Then comes the procession of all the congressmen and dignitaries and black limousines that we're paying for and all this crap. And then the vice president and the president. And what's all happening is that they're all going through his own inauguration parade. So Trump, or the president now, the new president, headlines his own parade. And then when he gets to the end of the parade, then he gets out, he joins the rest of the procession that was ahead of him, and they all take their seats. And then comes the so-called body of the parade, which are all the bands and the high school bands. And, you know, whatever high school got the highest award gets flown in, the highest honor to play for the president, all in, and the Scottish group. So that's what's happening. So that last one, with all the noise ruckus on the air, that literally was Donald Trump. You guys got to hear the probably one of the largest protest groups in front of Trump Tower, or the hotel here, at that moment. And then they all moved down to, I guess, start heckling Trump from the side, wherever the Ed grandstand is. That's what's going on. I just wanted to clarify, at least that makes sense now. We're not waiting for Trump, that's over, and now it's just the music. And supposedly the fun part.
So his parade is for him just getting to his seat to enjoy the rest of the parade.
Exactly.
Basically. All right, got it. All right, Davi wanted to say something. Go ahead, Davi.
So I'm looking up clips because I'm trying to get a good view of this riot thing, and I'm looking at Sky News right now. It just came up in the search. And they're showing this clip of, like, what looks like black bloc anarchists, like all black clothes, black face mask, and, like, black anarchy flags. And they're saying, and there's a bunch of police chasing them around with, like, pepper spray and stuff. But the video is of these guys picking up trash cans and breaking windows with them. And I thought, didn't you just say there were no trash cans there? So where is this from? Like,
there weren't off until the inauguration, and then there's nothing, no trash cans anywhere. And then after the inauguration, then there still weren't, and for about, I would say, about an hour after they start clearing things out, then all of a sudden, you would see, like, one trash can strategically, like, every maybe one block in the middle of an intersection.
Okay. You'd
find it easily, because the trash was not only over the top, it would be piled, like, you know, like a giant ring around the trash can, because everybody had nowhere to put the trash. So they put them out after the inauguration was over. And then now, as a matter of fact, I'm standing next to one right now. Then they erected cardboard trash cans. Now you sit back and say, why can't they put cardboard trash cans earlier? It's because, of course, they could hide a bomb in it. So now it's just the issue of having, I guess, metal. But they're guarded by the police. This cardboard one is out nowhere. But anyway, but no, there were no trash cans anywhere, and that was on purpose. By the way, one other quick thing is my mother, her husband, second husband, he used to work with police in the city whenever the president would come to Philadelphia. So he was a top manager of what we call the Metro. In Philly, it's called the SEPTA system. So it's a public transportation. So he was in charge of all of the buses that ran in Philadelphia. And it was pretty interesting. The stories he would tell is that when the president would come to Philadelphia, he was put in charge of, you know, assisting the police and the Secret Service. And for instance, just to give you one idea, that every manhole cover in the entire city, or I should say in all the main routes, okay, which are a lot, into the city, from the airport, back out to the airport, and that's times three. Because the president always has to have two alternates that the Secret Service have already cleared completely. So sort of three complete routes from the airport to wherever he was going to, and then back to the airport, and every manhole cover along that route is welded shut. And then once the president leaves, they have to undo and unweld every one of them. And that's just manhole covers. I mean, the amount of work that goes in, something this big, it's quite a feat.
Well, you know, I tell you, you earned your dollar from me. He's actually got sworn in as president. So I'm just, I'm sat the dollar. I mean, that's my thing, right? I got to get you my dollar. I saw the picture with the dollar from Keith. That was awesome. So we got to get you your dollar. You know, that's, you know, that. Well, I tell you what, the Only reason Jeb's not president is because his dad and mom were in the hospital. He had probably visited. He didn't get to go to the inauguration.
He probably had a heart attack. there. Yeah. Not his boy, Jeb.
Well, we saw it. You know, Carter, it was sitting there. We had, of course, Bill Clinton and Hillary and George W. and Laura and all that kind of stuff. And I'm going, oh, yeah, that's right. Bush's dad is in the hospital. And, of course, Barbara Bush, you know, she's in the hospital. They got sick at the same time. We're in the hospital. We can't go to the hospital. They were in the hospital. Both Herbert Walker and Barbara are in the hospital, you know, they didn't get to make the inauguration. They're so sad.
Yeah, I'm just kind of sad. And, you know, it was interesting. They were heckling. I mean, there was five of the major booths with Schumer and Clinton. That was almost embarrassing what happened. But that is, funny as hell, and I have audio of it. But, as a matter of fact, I'm sure plenty of video. Like, if you YouTube it right now, you'll probably hear it because, everyone had their cameras out. But anyway, I have to say, though, people were very respectful to most of the others. And when Jimmy Carter came out, even the Trump people, they were about to boo, and you heard the collective sigh, and they're like, all right, Jimmy, we like you, Jimmy. Like even the whole group, all these Trump supporters were like, yeah, right, they're all clapping for Carter, and they're all saying good things amongst themselves. It was kind of funny to hear that, I guess, after 40 years, I guess. It wasn't that bad after we just freaking dealt with, right?
Okay, well, you do Schumer booed, and it's all over the place. So here we got, where's this Daily Caller, of course, and see if we can play a little bit of this and see, how loud it was. Because on the coverage, coming out of his microphone, you didn't hear any of that.
Yeah, that was the drum corps, by the way. They're leaving now, so the drum corps is leaving, and now the Boy Scouts are coming. Wow. Hey, Ernie, were you ever a Boy Scout?
Yeah, I did the Cub Scout thing for a while.
Wow.
Yeah, I got some merit badges, but then my dad wasn't a big supporter because it was a lot of programming, and he'd point that out to me every chance he got. But, Dobby, you wanted to ask him something. The band's gone by now. He can hear you.
Do
you
remember? Oh, no, he answered my question about the garbage cans.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I was thinking, if he's saying that there aren't garbage cans and all the videos are showing anarchists throwing garbage cans, I'm like, what is this, stock footage? Like, where is this video coming from,
Yeah. One of the things is, the social media is being used so much. I'm wondering about the capacity. When we were talking to you in the first segment of the show, we couldn't get you back. I mean, did the coverage just saturated or just too much bandwidth being used?
Ernie, you cut out. Say that last part again?
Yeah, the bandwidth. I mean, I'm amazed that we're even able to have this quality of a call.
I know. I was surprised that you guys didn't get my text. It's a shame, though. Somehow, it was right your time, 6:37. I was getting signal fine. Matter of fact, Verizon, I had all five bars. It was amazing. But even though I had the bars, I couldn't get anything but a text or maybe a picture. So no YouTube streaming at all. And I couldn't even receive your show. And I'm thinking, if I can't get YouTube, that's video, but I figured audio I could always typically get. And I kind of wonder, that must have been done on purpose. I'll bet you anything, it's the providers, and I'm sure some of your tech listeners already know this, but they probably shut off at the source, all the signals for Verizon and Cricket and whatever, that yes, you had access, but in order to access a good service to so many people all at once, they basically shut down anything that was streaming. So everyone was running the same problem. You couldn't do any streaming, but yet you had full coverage, and yet you could still text someone and do a phone call like you and I did.
Well, what is it? Does it seem like it's just a wall of people everywhere, like it's a rush hour in New York City kind of thing, or is it more dispersed or just on the parade route? What?
Oh, no, this is the only thing I can compare it to. And some of you guys out there know what I'm talking about. This is like Times Square New Year's Eve.
Really?
I mean, this is, I mean, and that was worse. I mean, Times Square New Year's Eve is probably worse, but it's all at once in that one Times Square, of course. But you're standing there, you're in the cold, you have to get there almost at dawn just to get a spot. And you stand there all day, and it's cold. And the time we went, it was like 20 degrees, and it rained on us. And you can't leave. If you leave, then you to go to the bathroom almost, they do anything, they kick you out, and all that time is wasted. So Times Square is one thing I did once. I did it when I was young. I will never, ever do it again. And that was before 9/11. I cannot even imagine what it's like now.
Yeah.
But this is probably the most similar. But it's not just that intense area. It's this entire city. And this entire city is designed. I mean, it wasn't originally designed, but you can see the modifications of the truck barriers and where they have where they attach different cameras everywhere. You know, it's fascinating to watch this city move so swiftly. You know, I've seen security and other presidential parades. And I've seen Bill Clinton. I saw Bush Sr. I saw Ross Perot, if you count. You know, not to mention Ron Paul and others. But I've seen presidents in parades, like, over cities, and they have to adapt the security to that city. So there are Secret Service people that are specialized in simply going into cities and saying, okay, how do we make the city work for what we know how to do, right? This kind of thing. But what's going on here is, here's a city that is every day under Secret Service lockdown, or at least maybe not lockdown, but under surveillance.
You know,
normally.
We went there for the Revolution March in July of 08, and they would threaten, oh, you can't, you got it. And that's where we first met Adam Kokesh, and we said, look, we need to, when he was doing the Iraq Veterans Against the War, and we said, we got to put these signs up for the Revolution March. We had dozens and dozens of Revolution signs, Revolution March signs, and we're just going to go out and just do it until somebody shoots us. And they put them all up, nothing. Nothing. They just, I mean, everywhere. Up and down the Pennsylvania Constitution Avenue, the Metro, kind of signs. I mean, we're being a little clandestine about it, but they weren't worried enough. They were sending out, you know, SWAT teams. So they want to scare you into this stuff. I guess they just didn't see us as a threat. But so we got the, you know, pretty much with nobody giving us a hassle, and we had signs all over the place. But, you know, you have the inauguration of Trump. I'm wondering, you know, there's a lot of things that we can talk about when you come back and you have time to do some research and you get to see it from a bird's eye view more and you know what to check on the things that were curious to you, but what they really were and what their message is. But I'm not getting the impression from just scanning it a little bit that there's really a lot of violence there. I mean, are there, you know, blood and guts anywhere? Any shootings or bombs going off? We heard firecrackers, somebody being stupid doing that, but you know, has there been really any, oh my God, everybody starts running, any big problems?
Well, there was that earlier. I didn't see that, but I understand that there was a bunch of running around from that initial, the second one. The second one with whichever one was the burning of the flag. That was pretty intense. And when I ran online and some people have saw it here.
Ooh, burning the flag. Here, Trump guys, they got a flag thing going on?
A black thing?
Flag thing, man. They got this flag. The Trump people got the flag. Ooh, don't touch my flag, man. Ooh.
Oh, the flag. Yeah, exactly. It's just, you know what it is? And the thing is, and you know, I mean, liberals have been caught on tape saying that that's just the quickest way to bait a stupid jarhead, the way that they describe it, right? It's like, hey, well, if you're looking for a fight, all you got to do is sit there and just burn the flag in front of them and just wait for one of the loose cannons to come pop you. And after all, when they hit you, they deserve it anyway because they obviously are mentally unstable in the first place, and you prove that Republicans are idiots. So that's just literally how they see that, is they spin it around and use that as an excuse. And that's just what they did. It was complete baiting. And, you know, I mean, this is a place to do it if you're going to do it.
Well, I'm glad you got to go. Is the doctor there with you?
Dr. Feaster, yes, she is.
And she want to say hey real quick before we go?
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, for anyone still listening, I appreciate the... I know I like to, when I'm on the air, try to bring a little insight with things. And right now I'm not in the insight mode as much. I'm just absorbing in so many things, not to mention watching my back at the same time. You've got it's protesters, you know, come up behind me, and then you got the police coming behind all of us, and you've got things moving, and everyone just looks a bit bewildered.
So
to be honest with you, Ernie, real thing, everyone here, just no one's relaxed. Everyone, aside from the fact of having to wake up early and all this stuff, there's so much security, there's so much tension, there's so much, it's just, it's like, it's not fun. I think, honestly, Ern, what this was about, and many of the people today at the inauguration said the same thing, they didn't want to come here to see the sights, they didn't come here for the Smithsonian, they didn't come here to to party afterwards and go to the balls. Okay, Trump himself, if you think about it, has cut out a lot of the ceremonies. He's not having such a long parade. He's not having he's not issuing the Trump license plate. I don't know if you know, but when a president gets in, they always have a license plate with their name on it. He decided against that. Like, he's really trying to downplay. He didn't want a ticker tape parade. It's like there's something solemn about all of this.
Missile launchers.
The people that are here, many of them kind of said the same thing. They feel like it was their duty just to make sure they saw it happen. The bikers came in to say, "Bikers for Trump." Those were around, and after he swore in, so many people left, and they weren't angry. It was like, okay, it's done. I'm getting out of here, and it's not really celebratory like it was for Obama's first term.
So they were there just to make sure he got to be president.
Yes. I, Ernie, that is the best way I can describe the feeling here. It's not celebratory.
No, I know exactly why. You're welcome. It was all because of me. They wanted to make sure I had to pay you a dollar.
I'm going to put Dr. Deuster on for you real quick. And I'm looking for it. It better be a crisp new dollar. I don't want any, like, wrinkle.
I get you.
All right, hold on a second here.
Hello, Dr. Feaster. Are you happy you went? I mean, you had this plan for a long time. Frank's saying it's not.
Oh, I am so happy that I went, absolutely, that I was here and to enjoy a really historic event. I'm very excited that I could be here. And that Frank could be here, too. And that we met a lot of other people from all over the country. I met a lot of California people today, too, Oregon and Colorado, Alaska, so very exciting.
Well, I mean, if you're talking to people and on the other side, are you engaging them, and all of a sudden they find out you're a naturopath, and you're for Trump? Oh, my God, you're supposed to all be, Democrat liberals or something.
No problems like that, no.
All right, well, you feel like you did your duty more? You're there making sure he got to be president, or did you?
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. I mean, was it what I want to know is that compared, you did your duty, but are you enjoying it, or is it like work?
No, I'm absolutely enjoying it, and just enjoying every moment of it. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks for helping make this happen. You're the one. Dr. Feaster is the one that early on knew who to talk to. And involved the Republican Party enough to know that she had to go online and figure out, and boom, she had a bunch of tickets. And you wanted tickets to go from Arizona there, you go see Dr. Feaster, man. She had it all worked out for him.
Call your senator or your congressman. I'll get you on that list.
Yeah, I'll let you do it.
So apparently Donald Trump just launched a new Twitter account.
A new one, really?
Yeah, he's no longer Twitter real account. Donald Trump. He is now POTUS.
Just POTUS?
Just POTUS.
Well, that is the White House Twitter.
Well, it's his now.
Well, I know that it was Obama's, and now they cleared everything that he ever did, and now it's White House Donald.
There you go.
So we got a new Twitter account. Yeah, keep the private one too. What the heck? He's gonna. Oh, Doctor, this is what happened. We were sitting there. We had a bet. How long? Before Donald Trump would do his first tweet. And it was right after Obama got in the helicopter and he took off. He's gone. Boom! Donald's on Twitter. All right. Well, let's say goodbye to Frank. And then, thank you, Doctor. Wrap it up here a little bit. Let's go ahead and have Frank on. Thank you.
You there?
Yeah. One thing that I was telling the doctor what we did is we were, wondering, Davi and I were, wondering out loud, when do we get the first tweet from Donald? And it was right when the helicopter had left with Obama, and then he went up, boom, he's out tweeting.
Yeah, it took about a half an hour.
Yeah.
I took a picture of it. I actually saw the helicopter live, and when I took off, everyone began cheering, and I took my camera and took the shot of the last time, right in front of me, physical proof that he left.
It's going to be a lot to talk about next week. Davi, you got some. Let's let Davi finish up whatever he wants to comment or question, and Angela, and then we'll let it go. Go ahead, Davi.
Oh, I just thought it was fun. I timed it. It took just about exactly 30 minutes. It was about 31 minutes after he took his hand off the Bible before he was tweeting again.
And so what was the tweet?
I don't remember.
Make America, I'm it now, and POTUS, and I'll kick your ass.
What's funny about that is that technically, I think that the president, once he's done with his oath, is supposed to immediately go into a kind of like foreign policy briefing where he's like given the information only the president is supposed to have, which means that he spent the time during that briefing tweeting.
Yeah, screw him.
That's so funny. It's like he was like, Mr. President, did you hear actually what we said? There are aliens at Area 51. Did you hear us? Oh, just 1 second. I was busy tweeting.
Yeah, he's like, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like Saturday Night Live skits that they do with Alec Baldwin.
Get to the
like,
point.
Yeah. Skip to the end. Okay, Angela, your final comments?
If all he does is tweet and make Lockheed Martin stock drop, that to me would actually be an okay presidency as far as I'm concerned.
Boom.
Yeah.
Boom. Well, we're not. Angela is going to a libertarian deplorable whatever the heck they're doing tonight. It's going to be a burlesque gay event of having a good time. Angela's going to be emceeing that, and then she'll come by afterwards. She'll be staying here, so she'll catch the tail end of our party here. Tonight we're going to have the Arizona party, and then...
I'm going to miss it.
Take a look at Freedom's Phoenix. We got the precariat ship designed. It's done. And we got banners we're going to go pick up now and so on. I mean, it's a thing. So it's... we're going to have a good time, and then this weekend we're just chilling, but we're not so worried about, he made it and nobody died, so I'm good. But we're looking forward to you coming and telling us all about it, and you
I have audio, I have video, we'll find ways to hook all that up, and a lot of stories. I'm going to start interviewing people as well. I wasn't able to because, we're chatting here, and I wanted to make sure we're just juggling a lot of things. I'm going to start talking. There's one right here, a young woman, she's holding up a sign, Black Lives Matter, Trans Lives Matter. Again, it's kind of like what you're saying. Well, my statement, what the hell does that mean? What is it? Why are you here at the end of the day? So I'm going to try and get some audio of some of this, too, and see what we talk.
Well, see,
all right,
you can do some interviews. You'll try and get the other side.
That's what I'm going
to do. You'll be a real reporter, man. All right.
That's what I'm going to do right now when I go up there, so I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, Dr. Frank, thank you. The Trump Report from Washington, D.C.